Welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Podcast, Life and the Choices We Make, your online compass for navigating the wide world of modern dating. Whether you're swiping left, swiping right, or meeting someone in the real world, I'm here to help you make the best choices on your journey to finding love. In this season, I'm diving deep into the world of dating apps, breaking down what makes a killer profile, and how to spot the red flags in others. We'll also explore how to connect with someone special in real life and the art of striking up a conversation that actually leads somewhere. We will also tackle the tough stuff, like healing from past relationships and learning how to build healthier, stronger connections moving forward. So whether you're new to the dating scene or just looking for fresh insights, join me as we explore the highs and lows of modern romance. It's time to swipe smart, date better, and find the love that truly fits. Welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Podcast, Life and the Choices We Make, and I am so excited to announce today's guest. Today I have Andy Page, and Andy Page is the newest cast member on the soap opera General Hospital, and she plays the character Pearl. So I'm going to welcome Andy first. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you so much, Anonymous Andrew.
Maybe I should call you Anonymous Andy.
I know. I was going to say, how have you gone your whole life and you didn't get the moniker Andy?
Yeah. That's a story unto itself, and I'll be happy to tell you about it later. Or Drew, because the short version of Andrew is also Drew. But it's all about my grandfather, my father, all that stuff. Andy is also a guest host on the QVC channel, which I think is a shopping channel, correct?
It is, yeah.
I stumbled upon it, but I've yet to buy anything from it. But I think it's mostly for women, right? It's jewelry, and or is it?
There are actually three channels. And so there's one completely dedicated to culinary. There's one completely dedicated to, technology, which is probably would be your bag.
And then
the other one. So there's a lot there. And actually, we saw a real renaissance during COVID. So they're going strong.
Yeah. Well, we were all stuck at home. And so why not? Let's go online and spend money. And Andy is also a beauty expert for national TV and radio. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit what that means?
Yeah. So I've done over 200 episodes of reality television. You know, back in the 2000s, makeover shows were all the rage. So I did 3 years on a beautiful show called Starting Over. I had my own show called Sense of Style. I contributed to 2 seasons of 10 Years Younger, where I helped people look 10 years younger. Shows like How Do I Look? So you might remember the Style Network and all of that. So I did lots of makeover television. So that's what that is. And then that actually led me to doing radio. And for the past 20 years, I have done beauty and style tips on national radio, reaching, you know, almost 150 million people a week.
Wow. Are you watching The Golden Bachelorette?
I watched The Golden Bachelor. I have not engaged in The Golden Bachelorette yet, but I will.
I did not watch The Golden Bachelor because I don't watch that kind of stuff, but it is all the talk on podcasts, at least a romantic podcast.
I'm sure.
And I just came across it on Hulu, and I said, you know what? It's because I'm a Golden Bachelor myself, well, maybe silver, because I don't know. What does golden mean? Does it mean we're seniors?
Golden, a golden anniversary is 50.
Oh, okay. So anybody over 50. Okay.
So, I mean, I'm 54. I'm not golden, honey. I'm like halfway there. So
I would agree with you 100%. I don't know if I take the title of golden, but I and it was interesting because I was thinking about this. All the men and on the show, They need to have a regular man show. All the men on that show are, you know, very well off. Their status, one is a captain or in the Navy, and they're... I just think that they should have a regular Joe on there, but over 50, you know. But anyway, how do we get off
topic? No, it's a really good point. It's a really good point.
Because it's not realistic to me. I'm watching this and I'm saying it's, and she's pretty, and but I would never be able to date her. And I know that's negative thinking and all that stuff, but put on somebody like me or and my middle income peer group type thing, and I think that'd be more entertaining because America would be able to identify with that more. I just can't identify with it.
It does feed into a lot of the problems I think with dating, and that is just expectations are nuts. Like women expect men to be millionaires, and men expect women to be porn stars. So it's like
exactly.
The expectations are so just extreme and unrealistic. So you're right. This show is absolutely feeding into that, even though I haven't seen it yet.
But the same thing with The Golden Bachelor. The women were all beautiful, and I'm sure they were. I don't think any of them were below their means. In other words, they weren't poor. They weren't middle class. It's reality TV, but we know that's all scripted anyway, and it is entertaining. But
Andrew, I have to tell you, if you didn't watch The Golden Bachelor, so there has been a lot come to light about what was what we were led to believe about The Golden Bachelor and what the actual truth was. So I think to say that these people have inflated resumes is a bit of an understatement. So these people probably are a little more, median income than you would probably be led to believe.
And that's an assumption on my part, which I shouldn't make. So interesting.
The other thing is they all want to be seen in the best light. So it's all marketing. I mean, you know. Yeah. You know, anything can be turned into, you know, you can take any old, you know, pile of poo-poo and turn it into, you know, something fabulous that daisies can grow out of. So there you go.
Let's talk briefly about General Hospital, because I told you this right off before we started recording, but that was my favorite show when I was 20, 22. And I know my audience is going to go, huh? But back then, General Hospital was the bomb. It was like everybody watched it. And there was a couple on there called Luke and Laura. And they were, I forget what they were doctors or nurses, whatever they were. But they were in love and there was always conflict. And for 2 or 3 years, everybody was the Luke. It would be on page 6 of the newspaper the next day, whatever. And I was dating somebody in a hospital at the time who became my wife. And we were called the Luke and Laura. So it's a little nostalgic for me, General Hospital. Tell me about your role on General Hospital, how you got there. Are you enjoying it?
Well, I love that you have a connection. And it's so interesting because I am the latest cast member. And so when people find out that I'm a part of this legacy show, everyone has a General Hospital story because it's the longest running television show in television history. It's been on for 61 seasons, Andrew.
Wow.
61 years. Okay. So I can remember as a child, I was very fortunate. I grew up right across the street from my great grandmother. And, I went to a Catholic school and we were let out early on Wednesdays. And Wednesdays, I got home, I would get out of my uniform, go across the street to my big mama's house. We would watch General Hospital. I'd get real Coca-Cola and Nutter Butters. And that was like my Wednesday. I got the real sugar Coca-Cola and Nutter Butters. But anyway, we watched the soaps. And so, you know, for me to now be a part of this legacy is pretty amazing. But what is happening, you know, most people, when I say, you know, I'm now on General Hospital, the first question or the first response is, oh my gosh, that's still on? And yes, it's still on. And it still has anywhere from 2 to 3 million viewers a day, which is amazing.
That's good, but considering the amount of TV that's out there today. Yes,
that's true. But people have just been involved with this show for decades. And so The project that I'm a part of is really innovative. It's amazing. It's a marketing project. And let me just, you and I are very similar in age. I think I'm 54. I think you might be right there with me. So I want you to imagine if you could have had the opportunity to buy Fonzie's jacket.
Yes, without a doubt.
Yeah. If I could have had the opportunity, like in the 90s, to buy the hair products that Rachel and Monica used, or, you know, the thing is, what's happening, and let me just tell you where I'm going with this, is people are not watching TV the same way. They are streaming television. Yes. And by streaming television, you are losing what ultimately pays for a soap opera, and that's
commercials
and the people who make soap. So what has happened is there are all of these new experiments and innovations to try to figure out how to continue a legacy show like this and ultimately give the fans kind of what they've always wanted. So what is happening is a couple of years ago, they started a storyline about Home and Heart. And Home and Heart is a home shopping network within the storyline of General Hospital. And so they were looking for a home shopping person. I'm a home shopping host. And guess who my co-star is? Morgan Fairchild.
Oh, yes. I saw that in your bio.
Can you even? So Morgan Fairchild and me, we are the host on Home and Heart. And there's another storyline on General Hospital all about deception beauty. And it's these amazing, beautiful, powerful, you know, conniving women who develop cosmetics and lotions and potions and, you know, beauty devices. And they bring those things now to Home and Heart. And so what has happened is everything that you have seen be developed within the deception beauty storyline is now being created in real time. They are real products for the fans, the viewers, and consumers. They are showcased on Home and Heart within General Hospital. And
what then a great idea.
And then you can purchase them on shophomeandheart.com, which is what I'm the spokesperson for.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, we'll see.
And it's it kind of goes to, I think the movies tried to do this a while back where they would have Coca-Cola in their movies or a certain beer, and they wouldn't be advertised, but they would put real products. It's funny that you mentioned the Coca-Cola because I don't drink soda anymore. I'm a health nut today, and I do.
Anyway, go ahead.
Green tea and water all day long and
awesome.
Whatever. Iced tea, but not the kind of iced tea. They make this new iced tea that Bigelow makes that it's like hibiscus and whatever. It's
yummy.
Anyway, the Coca-Cola back then was really good because, like you said, it had real sugar in it. And it today it doesn't. People are missing. They don't know what Coca-Cola was like. I had a question for you.
We were talking about
product placement. So that's not what they're doing here. They're just showcasing what seems to be a shopping QVC on General Hospital that you host, but it's reality on the outside of the show, so they can really buy those products.
Right. And so the products that they have seen be developed on Deception within the Deception storyline for the past two decades are now real. So the first product that we actually brought to light is something called the Deceptor, which is this red light therapy wand, which helps with anti-aging properties. And so that's real. You can actually buy that. There are serums. Okay. Those are real. And it's just the beginning. I honestly feel like if this works, and, you know, people respond to it, which the response so far has been amazing. I think that every show that you are watching a show and you're going to be able to, you know, buy this shelf, or you're going to be able to buy a painting, or you're going to be able to buy what, you know, the actor is wearing. So I think it's just a matter of time because, again, we're consuming products in a different way. We are watching television in a different way. And we've got to figure out how we're still going to kind of sponsor and pay for all of it.
Well, a lot of the streaming platforms are now scaling back either their plans or they offer plans at a cheaper rate. So you do have commercials. So Hulu and Paramount and Amazon, they all have commercials now, depending on the plan you have. And I find that annoying sometimes because for 5 years I've gotten used to just binge watching something, and now bam, right in the middle of it is a commercial, and you cannot fast forward to it. You have to watch it, and unlike YouTube, you come across a commercial, you have to watch it for 20 seconds, and then you can skip it. So I think you're right. I think that's a great idea to because I wouldn't be bothered by that, but the commercials still bother me. So,
yeah, well, but, and, you know, it's a part of the storyline. So the people who've been watching General Hospital for the past 20 years know Deception Beauty, and they know, like, just the development of the Deceptor was a year long process that we, you know, all of the fans went through what it was like to have the idea and to get different prototypes and then to get it licensed. And that was all a part of the storyline. So, you know, you've gone on this journey with the development of all of these things. And so there is a connection that fans have to each one of these things. And I think it's genius. Like I said, it's an experiment. This is the first time it's ever happened. And I absolutely love being a part of it.
Great. And I hope it takes off. Yeah. And that would be great for not only you and General Hospital, but
lots of shows.
I guess lots of shows. So
yeah,
let's talk. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about your podcast, which will then maybe segue into the topics on this show. You have a podcast called, and this is, I have to say this slowly, The Dating Lab with Hillbilly Yenta.
Yes, I am the Hillbilly Yenta. So, you know, if you read my resume, a cat has nothing on me, Andrew. I have had more than 9 lives. I have done everything you can imagine. I started out as a model. I've done, you know, home shopping. I've had my own television show. I've do radio. I have developed products and written books and all of this. But my latest obsession is with modern dating, because I think we are just at a crossroads. I mean, women don't know how to be women. Men don't know how to be men. Women are, you know, there are 30% of the female population in the United States now identifies as lesbian or bisexual, which is totally fine, but there is some crazy stuff happening, right? So I have just been doing this deep dive into modern dating, the dating apps, like what's happening. I have daughters. I have one daughter who's 22. I have twins that are 18. I'm very concerned about their dating life and, you know, what it's going to look like. So yeah. And I have amazing friends who are accomplished and brilliant and funny and athletic and gorgeous. And they could not get laid with literally in a prison with a fistful of pardons. Literally. And I'm like, what is happening?
It's sad. Well, that's what my third season is all about. What the freak is going on? I always curse on the show, but out of respect to you.
Okay.
I know.
I appreciate you being respectful, but I've lived in New York City for, you know, 35 years. I think I've heard a word or two.
I'm sure you have. I feel like I have. I do. I have a TV star on my screen, so I'm trying to behave, and this is so unlike me. So I like what you said about the men have lost their drive and women have lost their power. You wrote that in our email. And I agree with that 100%. Men and I don't know if it's the woke movement, the feminist movement, the Me Too movement. I'm not judging or blaming anybody, but today you watch commercials, the ones you can watch, where you see the man carrying the baby and the woman yelling at him. You see the gender reversal roles in commercials now. And I wonder that
I always have to be careful. Just so you know, you do not have to be careful with me. If you want to be careful with your audience, I completely get that. But I know where you're going. And I will tell you that I am of the opinion that femininity is the most powerful thing in the universe. That it moves ships. It starts wars. It can literally, like, it can change anything. So I think that there is a real loss of femininity. And I personally have been, you know, kind of building this theory that I think that men have lost their drive because their curiosities are being met on their phone. It used to be, and I have watched my kids who are now 18 come up through this cell phone generation, right? So it used to be that, you know, a boy had to be curious enough to want to kiss a girl, want right. to touch her boob, want to get into her pants, because they were so curious as to what was going on. But all of their curiosities now are being met on their phone. They don't have to.
Pornography.
That's right.
TikTok, Instagram. And then there's a whole bunch of other apps out there that yeah. allow nudity. I think X, you can post porn. It's. Yeah. I agree with you. And I watched porn in my younger years as much sure. as any other guy did. Yeah. But I didn't have this. I knew that what I saw on the screen wasn't real. I had that, I don't know if it's just being smart just being smart. What I'm watching is not really what's going to happen in the bedroom. And my father brought me up as a gentleman. And I don't know if I told the story, but I my very first date, my dad took us, we were 13 or 14. I asked a girl to the movies and we went to her house. He drove, we picked her up. We went to the movies, we got back. He didn't go to the movies, but of course it was movies straight home. We couldn't do anything else. And we get back in front of her house and we're in the back seat. And I reach over to open up her car door because just in the back of my mind, I thought that'd be the nice thing to do. So she gets out of the car. My father turns around and says to me, "Get out of the car and walk her to the front door." Like I had no idea. You know, that's how he taught me. And on the car ride home, boy, did I get a lecture. This is how you treat a woman. This is what, you know, chivalry. And from that point on, and my dad treated my mom with respect. So I was brought up with chivalry and treat a woman with respect and yada, yada, yada. You don't see that today.
No. Unless you demand it. I've taught my girls to demand it.
Good.
And when I say demand, that's a very strong word. What I really mean is I want them to let a gentleman know that this is what they would prefer. So demanding is probably the wrong word. But like my 22-year-old, she has no problem saying, you know, I really enjoy it when, you know, a man opens the door for me, or it makes me it makes me feel special if you would pull my chair out. I mean, so she doesn't demand it, but she knows that she should at least in a kind way let a gentleman know that it's something that she would prefer.
Okay. I'm going to bring up a topic that's right within the same boundaries or topic you're talking about, but it is such a hot topic on podcasts everywhere. No matter where you go on the first date. So you and I meet on a dating app and we talk for a week, we chat, whatever. And I finally get you to say, "Hey, let's meet at Starbucks or let's meet at whatever." And we get there. I am, no matter what, am going to pay for that drink, that coffee, that dish of French fries. I took a woman out a couple of weeks ago. We bought some clams. I took her to a clam bar and was out on Long Island and we bought some clams. And the man pays. I want to court the woman. And courting means I want to impress her. I want her to like me. I want her to know that I'm a good person, that I can take care of her. And one of the things by doing that is taking out your wallet and paying for it. So this all goes back. I mean, it doesn't apply so much to later in life, but in our 20s and 30s, when we're looking to start families and women are looking for the right man who can provide for the family, who can be the security and safety and yada, yada, yada. And I can understand back then, but in dating in the 50s and 60s, women aren't looking for that. They're not looking for a family, right? So, and many women today have their own money. They're divorced, or they've had companies, they're retired. What, there's many different scenarios. I still think I pay. I don't care how much money you have. You can pull up in a Mercedes Benz, and I pull up in my little Honda Accord, and I'm gonna pay.
Well, I think that's correct. And the reason it's correct is because what you are doing is you are basically establishing the foundation that everything else in your relationship will be built on. And so in the first date, chivalry should be, you know, extended. I definitely think that, you know, the man should pay. I think the woman should show up, you know, in her feeling very secure in her femininity and look lovely. But I think that in these first meetings, this is where you're really establishing the foundation of what Yes. you're going to build. So even if it's a cup of coffee, I absolutely think that you should do that. And, you know, it is later in the relationship that you can create whatever, you know, exchange or equal boundaries that you want for money.
Have
and
that conversation.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah. Have that conversation.
But in the beginning, yeah. you want to establish that you like to be treated like a lady. You're expecting a gentleman to, you know, show up on time, to, you know, offer to pay, to do all the right things. And I do think that that is a part of that foundation that should 100% be established right off the bat.
I got a female friend. She's 35-ish. And she calls me once a week. We have dating stories. And she's actually been on the podcast. And she told me about a date she went on with a guy that works for a agency of New York City. So he works for the government. He's got a pension and he does okay. And they went to a coffee shop. I don't know where it was. What kind? What's the Starbucks? It was something. And they ordered. I don't know what they ordered. When the check came, they put the check now. Oh, of course, you watch. They put the check in the middle of the table now. They yeah. used to hand it to the man.
Yeah.
Always got the check. Now it's in the middle of the table, and he didn't go for it. And she sat there and she waited and waited and waited. And she said almost 45 minutes went by.
Awful.
So finally she said to him, what are we going to do about the check? And he was in his 30s. So I mean, this is what I'm talking about. There have been times that I have gotten up and gone to the bathroom and found the waitress and handed her my credit card and say, just when the bill is done, pay it and bring me the receipt.
Yeah.
That's all I need. And because I don't want to even deal with that. And if so what's your advice or thought on the woman will say many times, and this, can I help? Can I split? Can I pay the tip? No, you're shaking your head. No.
Not okay. in the first three dates. Absolutely not.
Okay. I agree.
Dates. Yeah. I agree. I think it's very different. If you make it past date three, then I think that that's very different. I think that you're on your way to a relationship. And if you want to do something, you know, that is genuine and, you know, an extension of thoughtfulness and appreciation, I think that that's fantastic. But if you are looking to build a relationship with a man that has, where he is expected to, like you say, offer security and offer, you know, to be comfortable in his masculinity and encourage you to be comfortable in your femininity, then okay. that foundation has to be built in the beginning. And your friend, there's no reason for her to ever see that person again. I actually have a similar story when I was dating, and this was in the 80s, okay, in New York City. I had someone ask me out. Again, the check comes, it sits there for an hour. And finally, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I guess, you know, we're looking to split this. He was like, oh, that's so kind of you. I would have. And I'm like, yeah. The next day, this is not a joke, Andrew. The next day, he sent me a dozen roses and told me how great the date was. And I sent them back to the florist with a note that said, you should have picked up the check. And that was like in like 1982.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wrong.
So whatever a dozen roses cost back then, maybe 15 bucks or even maybe 10 back then. Who knows? I don't remember. Who knows? I was there. He could have picked up the check.
Totally.
You know,
totally.
And to try to No.
Yeah, it's just wrong. So
it's the first impression, right?
It is.
It's the first impression.
You are laying the foundation. And so I do believe that there are certain things, you know, if you're looking for a husband and a father and a man who can, you know, who can build a household and, you know, ultimately take care of the larger things in life, then you definitely want to make sure that that foundation is built. So I'm with you. And I'm teaching my girls that. People can call me old fashioned. I don't care. I personally think that it is in our DNA. There are certain things that are in our DNA that I don't care how modern and fast our world is getting. The DNA is not changing at the same pace that our world is changing. So,
well, our ancestors, I hate using the caveman syndrome theory, but the caveman, or even back in, you know, 2003, they were the hunter gatherers, and they brought home the food, and the wives or the women, they prepared the food and they took care of the children. And I know that's in today's world, that's so, they're going to say that's so back ass we're thinking, and we don't do that today. Today, the men take care of the children, or they, and I think they should.
They can.
If the marriage is well, unfortunately, I was divorced within 7 years of my first marriage, and we had two kids, so I didn't get a chance to really bond and take care of my children. That's another whole story. But in a marriage, a young marriage, the man should. Well, I think here's a problem too, and I know I'm scattered here. In this modern world, the economy, a lot of families, young 20s and 30s, they both have to work.
Yes.
I know this from talking to many people. I have three boys. My oldest son, who's married to a doctor, and he's a CPA. They do very well, but they both work.
Yeah.
But of course, they have a lifestyle that they want to maintain. But back to the point, chivalry should not be dead, and it seems to have died. And I think, like, it's going to sound weird, I think, like Jesus Christ, it should rise up again. You know?
Well, here's the other thing is, you know, chivalry is not about finances, and buy a cup of coffee.
Buying
a cup of coffee is not about you, you know, being the ultimate provider. It is just an expression. And so that's the other thing. I mean, I'm sure that your son, and there are lots of men and women out there who split lots of things conventionally, traditionally, and unconventionally, and that are very, very happy. But in the beginning, like I said, I just think that it doesn't take a lot of money, but what you're doing is you are expressing some traditional values that you, you know, believe set a precedence. And so that's what I believe. But I also think that women have given up a lot of their power. You know, we talk about men losing their drive. I think that women have given up a lot of their power in this. And let me just tell you what my grandmother used to tell me. So my grandmother would tell me that, you know, listen, your papa is the head of this family, and we are going to listen to him. Yeah. But she'd go, but let me just be clear. I, my dear, am the neck. And where the neck turns, the head will go. And that is the ultimate truth. Right? My grandfather was, without a doubt, the head of our family. But my grandmother, she was most certainly
the
neck.
She ran the show. Ran the show.
Right.
Yeah. I had the same, too. I had an Italian grandfather and a Polish grandmother. Oh, and grandpa was out working, but grandma was, she ran the show.
Yeah.
It was whatever grandma said. So,
yeah.
But you said before, chivalry doesn't stop at finances or something to that effect.
Yeah, it's not about finances.
When I go on a date, you know, the first date can be depending. So sometimes I meet you there. So they're already inside, but it's about opening the door, pulling out the chair, and a number of things while you're eating. I've been on dates where her food wasn't right or was cold or she didn't like something. I don't leave it up to her to flag down the waiter so he can come and take it back, I will go get the waiter.
Sure.
Because she's sitting there with a cold dish or whatever is wrong with it. So even during dinner, and then after, walk her to her car.
Yeah.
And make sure she gets in the car safely.
Safe, yeah.
I don't care where you live. I don't care if it's the country, the, you know, suburbs, rural. It just make sure that the woman gets not to the car, and then I watch her get in. I stand there and I watch her start the car and she drives away. And then before she gets in, I ask her to please text me when you get home, so I know that you got home.
Sure. That's
and I will do that. And absolutely, and I will do that even if I know I'm never going to see her again, because there are times that we, like, both people will know that this is not working. But I don't want to hear the next day that she was killed on the way home or raped or something.
Sure.
You know, God forbid. But
what you're extending is honestly something that we would naturally extend even just to a friend. So it's just a matter of being a thoughtful and courteous. So that, I mean, don't get me wrong. I do that with my friends. I want to make sure that, just let me know you got home okay. Of course, I'm going to walk you. Let's split a cab. Let's, you know, make sure that we get in a cab together. I mean, whatever it is, but there's just common courtesy. And I don't think that that's too much to ask. But I do feel like women have lost their power because, you know, my grandmother talked about being the neck. And what she was really trying to say in many ways is, you know, your grandfather is an amazing provider and he is very busy, but this household and this runs based off of, you know, everything that all of the energy and the effort that I put into it. And so, women in many ways, I definitely believe they have, they've given up their power because I'm just going to shift here for just a second, because I just genuinely think that the girls have been over-sexualized. I think that girls ultimately are competing with porn stars for attention. And I think that they've given up their power in that way. And so it's very hard to put yourself in traditional roles when everything is just so extreme. And when you treat yourself that way, it's very common for someone else to treat you that way.
And let's not forget that women, and this is my opinion, and I know in today's world, it's common that there is casual sex. So women will sleep with the guy on the first date. Now, it depends on what's in the dating profile. So if the dating profile says looking for long-term relationship, there should be no sex on the first date. Maybe a kiss if there's real chemistry, but that's it. I've never invited a woman back to my home or to a hotel or whatever. But I hear a lot of either younger and middle generation. I have another female friend who's my age. We matched on Bumble a year and a half ago, but she's, I don't know, an hour and a half from me. And we agreed it was just too far, but we've stayed friends. And I just saw her last month. We spent the day together and we're friends today. But she tells me all these horrible stories that men just want to get laid the first night.
Yeah.
And
the truth is I'm not about slut shaming. I mean, you know, you're talking about adults.
No.
But I will tell you that, again, what you're doing is you are establishing how you want someone to treat you.
To treat you. And you're talking about women are losing their power. If you sleep with him on the first date, you've lost everything. Because, and I'm going to be blunt about this, I want to get in your pants ultimately.
Yeah.
But I want to do it the right way. I want to impress you. I want to make you laugh. I'm going to be very blunt here.
Yeah.
I want to make it. And this worked in the last relationship. Date after date after date, till to one day we're sitting on the couch watching a movie with no intention of having sex, but she is so, like, I almost take it to extreme where the last relationship we didn't have sex for 3 months. By the third month she was all over me. She was like, when are you going to take me to bed? And I'm like, oh. And so, and it was incredible, the first sex. If you have sex on the first date, you don't know each other. You just don't. But if you let that build up, that anticipation over maybe 3 months was a little pushing it, but she said to me how wet she was. She said, you got to get me in the bedroom. And it was just hilarious. But to your point, women are losing their power because and it's not slut shaming. I don't think it's slut shaming.
Well,
just don't give up your power that quickly.
I really believe that you have got to hold on to your power and your position for as long as you can. So, and the truth is sex is power. Sex is everything. It sells, it's so much. So, I do think that it's not something that should be used as a weapon. But at the same time, I do think that, you know, once you sleep with someone, you need to be very comfortable with them because you have given them your ultimate power. So that is one of the things that I definitely believe. But, you know, the other thing about men, kind of losing their drive. I feel like men just really don't know how to be men anymore. There's so much controversy, and all you hear about is toxic masculinity. You don't hear about the positive things about masculinity. I think men are great. I think men are wonderful and they have fabulous conversations and I love their physique. And I mean, I don't think that men are bad, but it seems as if being a man in today's world is somehow synonymous with something bad. And I just think that's also a really big problem.
I think they're losing their masculinity because this is one, they're watching too much porn. Either they didn't have a father like mine who literally sat me down, and although in the manner in which he did it, I didn't appreciate it because it was more like a yelling and like lecture, but I got the point. And he taught me how, and then of course I watched him how he treated my mom, and they never divorced. They lived until death did them part. And so I have the utmost respect for my parents. So I think today's men, it may be depending on how their father taught them or treated their mom. That's a big part of it too. And then of course you got social media. So you got all this crap on, like, unfortunately I have to be on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook because I have to promote the show. But some of the stuff I see that I scroll through, you know, forget the hilarious stuff and the funny videos. This, I don't know where this falls. I came across a video just a couple of days ago. There was a man and a woman, and the man was standing holding a bowl of soup. And next to him, but right behind him, was the wife, and she had like this smirk. And he had Band-Aids all. Now, of course, this was all acted out. He had Band-Aids all over his face, and he said the only thing he said was, "Yesterday, this soup tasted like crap." And then he took a sip and he said, "Today it tastes delicious." And it was the funniest video that I have ever seen, in at least on these social media. And you could just see the wife in the background. So obviously the story was that he told the wife the soup was crap and she beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it was funny yet sad at the same time.
I don't think that's funny, Andrew. I do not think that's funny, but
I don't know. But it was the way they presented it. I laughed. I knew
you're not alone. You're not alone.
I know what they were trying to portray. I think they were trying to say that.
Sure.
Well, what do you think they were trying to say?
Yeah, they're trying to say that, you know, she made dinner and he didn't approve, and she, like you said, like physically abused him.
Yeah. I've heard stories back in when I was growing up that the man is out work, whether he's construction or whether he's an office worker. He came home after working all day. And back then in the 60s, women did stay home and cook. So dinner was ready for the husband. And if the husband came home and didn't like what the wife spent all afternoon cooking, that was disrespectful. That's disrespectful. So
Well, and you know, of course, there was lots of abuse back then, you know, when women didn't have a place in the workforce. So, yeah, I mean, we have come a long way and a lot of things have changed. But it's like I said, there's a certain part of our DNA that cannot change with how fast society has changed. So it is still in our DNA to want to mother and to want to support right. and nurture and care, at least for women, you know, we want to be the nurturers. And it is still in the masculine DNA for you to be the hunter and for you to be more aggressive and for you to be more combative. That is absolutely still in our DNA. So we can try and, you know, eliminate all of that. And society does. Society tries to knock all of that out of our children. But we are still born with those innate, you know, inclinations. So it is society that is knocking it out of us.
When I was dating my first wife, we were at a bar, and I don't know how we ended up there, but it was a semi-biker bar. I don't know. I'm an alcoholic in recovery, and she had her demons, and I don't know why we were there, but we were just there drinking, and she had gone up to the bar to refill up her drink. Of course, everybody's going to say, why didn't I do it? And when she got to the bar, there was all, literally, I swear to God, bikers, you know, with the leather jackets. And she was gorgeous. She was petite, blonde, Irish, and just a knockout body. And I was sitting watching, and like five of the bikers got behind her, and they started making all these obscene gestures, like, you know, and I started getting very angry. And now at that time, I was 5'9", maybe 140, you know, wet.
Oh my.
And yet I got up and I ran towards them, and I tackled two of them. I jumped on them, and I guess just because they didn't see me coming, I got the crap beat out of me ultimately. But I defended my woman because she was being disrespected. I don't know that I would do that today in a biker bar, because you wouldn't catch me in a biker bar today. But anyway, but that's the type of, I don't know. Do men do that today? Would men come to the rescue of a woman, of their woman?
I believe it would probably be labeled toxic masculinity, but I would certainly hope that if I were, you know, in distress and was being highly disrespected in public, that, you know, my husband or whatever man, honestly, that was in my presence and, you know, felt a protective nature over me would protect me. So I would hope that, and I would certainly hope that for my girls, you know, my 22-year-old, and my two 18-year-olds. So I don't know if they, I would hope so.
do you want to, or can you talk about your husband? How long you've been married? Where did you meet?
No, I'm happy to talk about my husband. This is actually my second marriage. My first marriage, we were married for 15 years. It was very successful. But my husband got to a point where my first husband got to a point where we had decided that we were not going to have children, and he changed his mind. And so, you know, it was very difficult, and he is a wonderful man, and I am still in contact with him today, but I had to let him go. And I did. We literally, our divorce was unbelievable. We went to the New York City courthouse. We got the paperwork. We went to a Starbucks. We filled it out together. We went, and he paid the $120 for a divorce, and we kissed each other and said goodbye. And literally, that was our divorce. We didn't even have a lawyer.
So he didn't want children.
Neither one of us did. And then he got to the point where he wanted children. So I did not. And then I started dating, and I had a fabulous time dating in New York City for several years. And I met my husband, my now husband, and he had children. And I was like, I've been very clear that, you know, I was not interested in a man with young children. And, you know, things happened, and I came to know these kids and love these kids. And I just felt the calling that halftime seemed awesome, that I could influence and love and nurture these kids, but they didn't have to be mine. And it's been the biggest blessing. So I definitely feel as if they are mine, because we've been together for now 15 years. My husband and I have been together for 15 years. So, but at the same time, they are not kids that I had. And we very much are involved in every aspect. As a matter of fact, my husband's probably one of the best fathers I've ever witnessed, but I'm really, I'm really grateful. And I'm also very clear that my job, they have a mother. My job is just to help them be the best parents they can be. So that's kind of the role that I take on.
Oh, so their mom is still in the picture?
Yeah, very much. And we get along great.
Okay. And that's how it should be. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I love my husband. We've been together for a long time, and you should know, he asked me to marry him three times. And I was like, I just don't feel like we should get married. I don't need to get married. I've already been married. We're not going to have more kids. This doesn't have to be. And he's the one who said, I will ask you to marry me one more time. And if you do not want to marry me, I will find someone who does, because I am not going to let my girls see me with my girlfriend for the rest of their life. They need to know that I know how to do things. I need to set an example for them. And after that, okay, I guess I got it. Yeah. All right. So,
He had a point.
Yeah, he did. It's been great.
Yeah. Because otherwise he would have shown his daughters that it's okay just to not get married and let your girlfriend sleep over. Which is kind of on the same topic of what we're talking about. It's doing the right thing. So
that's right.
But that nice story. I'm happy to hear that. That's nice.
But, you know, I mean, not that it mattered, but I still have my own apartment. So, I never moved in. It's just not something that I ever did, but not that that matters at all. But you know, the optics were always really, really important to my husband, and for the right reasons. So you know, he was traditional in that way.
That's not uncommon today. I've heard that many couples, when they, especially later in life, but although you got, I guess, 54, you got married.
My first marriage was at 24, and my second marriage, I was in my 40s.
Right. So you had already planted yourself in an apartment someplace. Yeah. So I listened to this other podcast. It's actually a very good podcast called Dating While Gray. And it's hosted by Laura Stassi. Great. She's a journalist. But you hear seniors, 70, 75, that they get together and they marry, but they keep their own houses.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh? But apparently that's the new thing now. It's just you keep your own house. Interesting.
Yeah, I would definitely think at an older age, it would probably be a little more comfortable. But I want to talk about ghosting. Are you a ghoster?
No. So, well, if I can't lie to my audience because my audience has heard past episodes. So my position on ghosting is no, it's a no-no. It depends on how the last date went and who texted who last. So, for example, I was dating somebody. I should say one date went well. That was the one we had clams. We made a second date, and it was for the following weekend, and she was going to come out to my place, out to my town. She lived about 40 miles away, 40 minutes away, I'm sorry. And she was going to a concert that night, but during the day, so you know the Jones Beach Theater concert out here in Jones Beach. She was going to the concert that night to see James Taylor. And she was going to go tailgating around 6. But I said, but she was taking her own car. So she said, I asked her, I said, come out to my, I don't want to say my town, but you have an idea where, I told you where I live. Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, I'll come out and hang out for the afternoon. And then at 5 o'clock, I'll go to the concert. She called me that morning, texted me and said, I'm not going to be able to make it out there today. And I'll get back to you to reschedule. I never heard from her again. And I felt as if she broke the second date and she told me she would reach out and reschedule and she didn't. I didn't reach out to her. Is that ghosting?
Let me just tell you what.
Or did she ghost me?
I think she ghosted you. It ended, right? But what I have been encouraging my daughter, who, by the way, my daughter's 22. She's been living in New York City on her own now for like 3 months. She just graduated college, has her first job. And in those 3 months, she has been stood up twice. Twice.
Why?
Can you believe that? Exactly. So, and then she's had this where the guys just ghost, right? So I have a theory that there is an age right now, there's an entire generation of people who are very comfortable in a virtual world. because they've been gamers and they're very comfortable with the virtual, but they are uncomfortable when reality sets in and they've got to go somewhere.
They hide behind the screen.
Yeah, right. So that's one of my theories. But then let me just tell you what happened. So then she did have this date a couple of weeks ago, and this person just became a little more aggressive than she was comfortable with. He was texting her all day. She was trying to work. It was incessant. She had given him a couple of clues. And so she was like, I don't know that I can go out with him again, because I think that we're at different points. And she's like, I really don't know how to handle it. I think I'm just going to block him. And I said, no, I don't want you to block him. We all have got to start having the courage to have honest conversations. I said to her, I'm like, what you need to say to him is, I appreciate how eager you are. And it's quite obvious that you feel a connection with me, but I think that we might be at different points. And I just want you to know that texting is not a communication avenue that I enjoy. So I'm going to have to, you know, end it here, but I just want you to understand that for me, I felt our communication was just too aggressive, and let it go. But at least he knows that it wasn't his aftershave or his haircut or his breath.
Right.
You know, at least he knows. And then for the next person, he will have possibly learned a lesson, so that
that's,
you know,
an interesting concept.
I think that we all have got to just start being honest about what put us off.
I agree. I have told this story on the podcast, but about a month and a half ago, I went on a date into New York City, and that's a deal breaker for me. But she seemed nice. We were getting along and texting and chatting. So we went and I picked her up, which is a no-no because she got into my car on the first date, but she didn't have a car. But I picked her up, you know, New York City. So it was Forest Hills.
Yeah.
And we went to this nice little coffee shop, but it was a horrible date. Horrible. She didn't talk much. She didn't ask any questions. I just didn't feel the chemistry. But of course, like I said before, I walked it. I pulled the chair out. I paid for everything, and I got her in the car, and I took her back to her apartment, and I even got out and opened the door for her. And it was raining. It was really raining. So we kind of just said, like, we'll chat later. I go home and I'm driving in the rain, and I, to myself, I'm like, no, I'm not interested. I'm not going to pursue her. And then I come on here, I do a weekend rant, and I talked about it. And I said to the people, I don't know how to tell her I do not want to see her again. And the very next night, I'm sitting in bed, and one of my, that woman, my friend that's 35, she texted me and said, have you called her yet and told her that you're not going to pursue her? And I said, I don't know what to say. Bam, I get a text from that woman, like, right then. And she said, hi, Andrew. And I said, oh, hi, Jane. And at that point, it was my, she opened the door for me.
Yeah.
And I said, I was just about to text you. I had a great time last night, but you live too far away, and I'm not looking for. Now, that wasn't the reason. All right. The reason was I thought she was boring and we had no connection, but I just said the distance is kind of far and I'm not looking to date somebody an hour away, you know?
But I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, I just am not sure that we are a match. And so I wish you the absolute best of luck in your search for love. It's just my inclination that we are not a match.
Well, if I was honest, I could have said to her, you were boring and you didn't ask one question of me. And
you don't want to be hurtful. I mean, there's no reason to be hurtful. You don't want to be insulting. So that, but there are nice ways. I mean, you know, this is the Southern, you know, belle in me. There are plenty of nice ways to explain yourself without being insulting or hurtful.
Right.
And so that's the thing that I wish that we could all kind of get to. There is the epidemic of ghosting is really just out of control. And it really is a lack of courage. It is a lack of social skills. And we have got to get back to a point where we've got the cojones to be honest and kind because it is the most kind thing to let someone go in an honest way. It is unkind to ghost and let them think like a million things. I mean, women think, oh, I was too fat, or he didn't like my lipstick, or I wish I would have worn that, or, you know, I should have never said what I said. I mean, we replay all of it. So the kind thing is just to end it with a little bit of honesty. It is the most kind thing.
Well, I agree 100%. And I was being honest because getting there was a 45-minute drive, and it was the middle of Queens, and it just, that's just not my scene. So it was kind of true, but I really also just didn't enjoy the time with her. So
you're
not, I gave her the half truth.
Yeah.
I gave her the half truth. So,
but at least you did it. So I give you big kudos for that.
Yeah. So, and I've done it to others, and other women have done it to me.
Sure.
Which is, I'd like to know, like you said, did I have bad breath?
Yes.
You know, I'll tell you quickly, there was a woman who couldn't wait. She saw me on my dating app and was very aggressive. And within 3 days, I want to meet you this weekend. And she was from the West Indies. And I thought she was attractive. And so we went down to the beach and we met on the beach because I live right by the boardwalk. And we drove our own cars down there, and we get out, we go sit on the bench, and we start chatting. And then she looks at me and she says, "How old are you?" And I told her, and she said, "You don't look like anything in your pictures." And I said, "They're within the last year." And like, it started to drizzle a little bit. Now, normally if it started to rain, I would have said, "Hey, let's go get a cup of coffee." She said to me, I got to go. Like, the date lasted 20 minutes, and she left, and she kind of not ghosted me. She kind of said to me right then and there, "I don't think you are." No, but she thought I was catfishing her.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know. My pictures are within a year.
Sure.
At least at that time, maybe a couple of them are a little bit more than that now. But it was just the strangest data, you know, so there was no reason to text after that. Yeah. She wasn't into me.
No, that's okay. I mean, that's different. Yeah. There's a conclusion there, and you knew why, right? So there was.
Oh, yeah, she was very honest about it.
Yeah,
you don't. There's a conclusion. She basically said, "You're not handsome."
Oh, so. Well, that's mean. But
and I felt horrible. You know, but I did. As far as I know my pictures were current. So either she. You know, and I also have this other problem. I'm all tattooed up and I got long hair, and I'm very upfront and honest in my profiles. I show the tattoos. I say I have long hair. So there's no surprises. Yeah. I don't. So anything else on ghosting? Because there's another topic I want to talk about.
No, that you mentioned. I've made my point. I think that ghosting is all about a lack of courage. And ghosting is really... It's an awful thing, and I wish we could get out of the practice.
So I agree. Communication is key.
Yeah.
If we don't communicate, we're never going to get anywhere as a society.
Yeah.
Flirting.
Uh-huh. I love flirting. I think it's a lost art. I practice all the time. It's a lost art because it's very frowned upon in the corporate scene now. There are literally people that
Me Too
teach,
movement.
Yeah. So there are entire companies that revolve around, you know, the corporate environment and, you know, what we are not supposed to do now in business. And so flirting has gone out of vogue because, again, it's been beat out of us. However.
But should we be dating at our job?
Oh, I definitely think that your job is a place. I don't think that you should exclude anywhere.
Okay.
That's how I feel about it. I don't think, but here's the thing. You're talking to someone who, you know, doesn't sleep around. I never slept around. A date was, you know, an opportunity to get to know each other. So, you know, dating under the terms that you and I understand it to be, where you're not sleeping on the first date, you're not, you know, driving people crazy, you know, that's different. If you are someone who is going to sleep on the first date, again, I'm not slut shaming, that can create problems in your workplace.
Right.
But, you know, dating and getting to know someone and having the opportunity to build a relationship outside of work, I don't think there's anything off limits, personally. But that it really depends on what kind of dater you are.
I heard growing up, you don't shit where you eat, which means you don't, you don't date, you just shouldn't date in the workplace because it can get messy, very messy. And I have done it, and it gets messy because then when you break up or there's a fight, then the whole next day, it's not just you, but all your office mates or colleagues or on the TV set. How many Hollywood actors and actors date? And then when it's on the front page of the tabloids, you know, they got to see each other on set the next day. It's to me, I think it's just date anywhere, but dating at work, you should try to avoid.
That's your opinion. I think it depends on how you date. But
okay, so you said flirting is a dead art.
I do. I think it's a lost art. And it's actually one of the
lost
things
art.
I have been actively teaching my girls how to flirt. Because to me, if they are interested in someone, how do you open that window? How do you crack that window so that you are encouraging of their, you know, of their pursuit of you?
Give me an example. What would you teach them?
So one of the things that I have encouraged them to do is master the 3-second eye contact. So if you look someone in the eye that you're attracted to and hold their gaze and smile for 3 seconds, I know it seems simple, but that is a very difficult thing to do. So I've been trying to teach them and I'm like, okay, 3 seconds, let's count it off. So that's one thing. Then the other thing it's very simple, but men love to be complimented. So you want to, in some way, compliment something, whether it's, you know, oh, I haven't thought of it that way, or, you know, that sweater is lovely, or whatever it is that you are attracted to, you want to be open and honest about that.
Nice eyes. You have a nice smile, something like that.
You know, and I say, I'm like, okay, you like this guy at school. What is it that you like about it? Trust me, he would love to hear that you think he's funny, that you think, you know, he has a lot of friends and you find that really attractive. Like whatever it is that you are attracted to, I can assure you, he would love to hear that. So,
I agree.
You know, eye contact, you know, making them feel seen in some way with a compliment. And then when the time is right, the truth of the matter is men also like to be touched. And this can get a little, this can get a little dodgy. But what I mean by that is just a small graze or some simple touch, a simple touch to let them know that you are receptive to their touch, because men are trained not to touch.
Not to touch a woman.
That's right.
Absolutely.
But if you give them a very simple touch on the forearm, on the shoulder, a simple touch, then you are opening the window for them to be pursuers.
I was told, to your point, that if you're at a date, like it could be a dinner, it could be a cross at Starbucks or whatever, and so your hands are like, you know, you're resting on the table, your coffee cup is here. And if the woman reaches out and puts her hand, like she's having a conversation with you, and she just puts her hand on your arm, that's flirting.
That's right.
That's saying, I'm that's the whole body language concept.
I'm open.
Yeah. And she puts her, just for, even if it's for 3 seconds, just, oh, that's right. Or if she's laughing at his joke or something, you touch him. And that tells me that she's interested.
That's right. That she is interested in you pursuing her. And so that's the thing, because, you know, I literally have 2 18-year-olds who've never been on a date ever.
Wow.
And they are gorgeous girls. They have never been on a date. They've never been pursued. They've never, I'm 100% honest, they've never even been kissed.
Now, there are men who think that when they see a beautiful woman that they're out of their league and they don't even try.
No, this is not what's happening in school. Trust me. Like,
okay,
it is so crazy. The boys are literally not pursuing girls at all. They are not pursuing. Like, it is fascinating to watch. I mean,
I've heard that.
Yeah. they're not pursuing anyway. So they're like, how do I attract a guy, or how do I signal to a guy that, you know, I want to be pursued? And so we have been, you know, literally going through the art of flirtation, but it is eye contact, it's opening conversations, and it's cracking the window so that a gentleman can feel as if he pursues, that it's going to be received well. And that's ultimately what you have to do now.
Now, that's from the woman or the woman's perspective. So you're teaching your daughters this. What can a man do? So again, you and I are on our first date, second date, whatever. What can I do to flirt with you that would be acceptable in today's standards?
For me, it's chivalry. If you do all of the things that we've discussed, you know, eye contact, you're listening to me, you are engaged, you remember the things that I say, like on the second date, you remember that I have a sister, you remember that, you know, my dad passed away. If you remember our conversation, then that tells me that you are interested in me.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because I had a conversation with a woman last night that I'm very interested in. And before I called her and during the conversation, I write notes. So she's got a dog and it's a mutt. And I think the name is Georgie. And I take notes.
Yeah, because you care, because you are interested in her.
So the next, and then also she's got a mother who's 91 and living with her, and she's taking care of her. So this morning when I texted her, I said, how's mom?
Great.
You know, like, because last night mom was having a coughing fit while we were on the phone.
Yeah.
And she said, you got to excuse me a second. She put the phone down for five minutes, and she came back, and I said, is mom okay? Everything's okay. But this morning, first thing I did was, how's your mom? You know, so, that shows her that I was listening. Yep. Well, I couldn't miss that. But just the little things,
yes,
like what she likes in her profile, I wrote down that whatever it is.
All
know?
Of those and things are so important, and that is flirting. I mean, that is, you know, that is reaching out in a way, in a flirtatious way, that is, you know, you're signaling that you are interested. And when a man is signaling that he's interested, it again, it's eye contact, it's engagement. And the other thing that men really have to do is men need to show up on time, do what they say they're going to do.
Yes.
They need to set the date. I mean, if a man can't, you know, set a date, how is he supposed to buy a
pick
house?
Pick the place. I hear women saying men just can't be decisive and they cannot pick a place. Pick up just anything. You know, obviously don't pick a hole in the wall bar or pub or whatever.
Whatever.
Oh God, I just had another question for you. So, if the woman touches the man on the first date, like just puts her hand on his arm for a second, can a man do the same thing to a woman?
I think so. I think if it's not aggressive, and it, you know, I think it's exactly what you're talking about. It's a very simple touch. It is not a sexual touch. It's just a connective touch. I actually think that that's totally fine.
And watch her body language when you do that.
That's
because
right.
If she tightens up, like stiffens up, or she pulls back or does any kind of like negative, then you know she's not comfortable with that.
That's
and
right.
So, but
so I do. I actually think that that is, I think that that's okay. But you know, everything is about tone and intention, you know? So, it's the intention. Are you just looking to connect? Are you just looking to see if there's an opening, or are you ultimately looking to harm, you know? So.
Yeah, well, let's hope not. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Andy, we got to begin to wrap it up because I have to do some editing and and my bedtime's approaching. But there's a story I want to tell you when we get off mic, so I want to leave
really
a few minutes.
I really enjoyed my conversation, Anonymous Andrew.
Anonymous Andy. No, Andy Page, everybody. The newest character on General Hospital, Pearl. And Andy, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Yeah.
And what a great conversation we had. You've got to come back.
I would love to. And I need to have you on my podcast as being the hillbilly
I'd
yenta that I am.
To. I'd be happy to. Anything you want to say to the folks before we wrap it up?
You can find me at andypage.com. I encourage you to hit shophomeandheart.com. You can also find me, you know, on Instagram at theandypage or shopwithpearl.gh.
Okay. I will put all of that in the show notes.
Thank you.
And Andy, it has just been a delight.
Yeah.
And you are a delight. And I might just have to start watching General Hospital again. Aww. I can't. Where? Tell us where we can find it. Is it still on ABC?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not hard.
And ABC is on Hulu. So I would imagine if you need to stream it, it's on Hulu.
It's absolutely on Hulu. You can stream it every day.
I am going to check it out because I want to see you on there.
Oh, aren't you so sweet? Okay, terrific. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah.
I would like to thank Andy Page. That was such an incredible chat and interview with Andy Page. And yes, it went a little long, but how many times do you get a TV star to come on your podcast? And she had, she's my generation. So we had the same upbringing, and although she's from the South, but wow, just an incredible conversation. So Andy, thank you so much, and we're going to have you back one day. Okay, folks, this is the part where I ask for your help. In my show notes, you're going to see buy me a cup of coffee, and if you can, please leave a review, especially with this interview. If you're on Spotify, you can leave a review for this particular episode. But if you're on Apple, please leave a review down below and tell a friend. You might have a friend who might be interested in the podcast. That's how it works, folks. Spread the word. And in a couple of weeks, I might have an announcement about what direction I'm going to take this podcast in. We'll see. I'm not going to let it go now. So anyway, folks, as always, Anonymous Andrew, I really appreciate everybody listening, and I'm getting some great feedback and great reviews, so keep it coming. Tune in for the weekend rants. They are becoming the... It's almost like I shouldn't have any guests anymore. You guys like the weekend rants, but no, I need guests. Guests. So, because I am not the know-it-all end-all, so... But anyway, Anonymous Andrew, until next time.